Okay, here we are, hour number two. Let's see what we do this hour. We have a lot of very interesting things for all of us to watch. I have not been able to watch these videos yet myself. Erica found them. They promised to be very helpful to all of us, and I'm looking forward to seeing them with all of you. One of them is about 14 minutes long. The others are much shorter. So we're going to go through those. We have an RFK Jr. clip. That guy is saying all the right things. Just, it reminds me of Trump in 2015. He was saying all the right things all the time. And as I've said, and I said it quite a while ago, I do believe RFK is being groomed to be installed. I think that's going to be the next occupant of the White House. He'll do exactly what he's told. And then we have a Ryan Cole video, which is excellent. Ryan is right back on top of his game. And speaking being on top of your game, how are you? Are you there?
I'm here. Still here.
That's it, yeah. It's kind of like being on, I would imagine, being on a bucking horse, some of this stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yep, trying to stay out of the fray.
Yes. News story up at the top at Rents.com. Report from the line of contact all along Donbass and Ukraine. The Ukrainians continue, I don't want to get off topic here, but continue to annihilate their own military. They have no air cover. They insist on sending attack wave after attack wave through minefields right into the teeth of Russians who have been dug in there for nearly a year, and they're being annihilated. We have at least 400,000 dead by most accounts, slaughtered.
Yeah.
This is madness. And the last note, remember, the Ukrainian military is getting the best Western military strategy, advice, if not direct planning, from NATO and the U.S. And the results are catastrophic. So the Russians are learning so much about NATO tactics and the U.S., it's not funny. All right, we'll close that up. We have a lot to do here. We'd invite all of you to go to, let's go and see if we have everything up in guests. Hopefully we do. I think we do. We have just mentioned RFK Jr. a moment ago. You want to set this short video clip up?
Yeah, this was a Newsmax interview. He's been giving quite a few interviews lately. Just a couple minutes talking about bringing awareness about these bioweapons programs that have resulted in, well, much of what's going on right now with the so-called, what do they call it, countermeasure?
That's what they're called.
And putting a stop to this gain-of-function research and just this ridiculousness that has the potential to wipe us out as a species. Maybe it's too late. I don't know. But it's interesting to hear him bringing this awareness to the public, because I would say the vast majority of people are largely unaware of the extent of these programs and the impact that they're going to have if this thing doesn't get reeled in.
Exactly. And to be quasi-morbid about it, I don't think anything's going to be reeled in. If you all were listening last hour, you heard that phenomenal revelation by a key BlackRock employee. You got to look inside the belly of the beast like you'll never get again. And that story is up at the top of headlines, should be up momentarily, so you can look at it again later tonight. But it is, it's really something. All right. Let's take a look at this video then. It's RFK again saying exactly the right things. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren, I believe it is, who has been around for a while. She's not a rookie. And here we go.
Do you worry about this? I mean, what we've just talked about is there's a hardware war. I mean, you know, we sell weapons all over the world, and I realize everyone's sort of building up, different countries building up. But what I worry about is a WMD like a virus, like a gain of function? Something. Do you worry about that? Because I see that as sort of the next big fight. Because those viruses don't see any borders. And they're relatively cheap to do this gain of function. I mean, it's just so, you know, that's what I worry about more than the big hardware.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we know that the Chinese are developing ethnic bioweapons, bioweapons that are designed to attack people of certain racial types. And we're doing the same thing. We've been collecting Chinese DNA. We've been collecting Russian DNA specifically for that. This arms race is a catastrophe. You know,
if I might just jump in real quick, when I first started this program, I reported on ethno-specific weapons research, and people laughed at me. And here he is saying, they've been doing this kind of research for decades, okay? So yes, what he's saying is correct, and Erica knows that very well. All right, here we go.
1969, we had developed by then nuclear equivalency with bioweapons, so we could eliminate the same numbers of people with bioweapons at, I think, 29 cents a death. They calculated, the Defense Department was, and the CIA calculated at that time. And President Nixon did the most extraordinary thing. He went to Fort Detrick and he said, we are unilaterally ending the bioweapons arms race. We are giving up all of our bioweapons. We're going to destroy them. We're going to disable the capacity at Fort Detrick, and we're not going to make them anymore. And 3 years later, almost all the nations on the earth signed a charter stopping bioweapons production. And the problem was, the CIA continued to do secret bioweapons production in our country. The Russians found out about that and rejigged their program. And then after 2001, we passed the Patriot Act, which reopened the arms race, which basically canceled out Nixon's 1979 agreement treaty and launched a new bioweapons arms race, and everybody else in the world is doing it. And the impacts, as you point out, Greta, are horrific. We need to stop it. We need to go all, to all those nations, and we need to say to them, let's get rid of all the bioweapons. I give you one other issue that is really frightening.
All right. Regarding the bioweapons, I think it's unrealistic to expect any military-industrial complex to give up any key weapon system, which is what bioweapons are. It's not going to happen. Even Nixon's rather bold and brave decision was mocked. The so-called deep state continued doing what it does. When Russia invaded Ukraine 450-some days ago now, how many bioweapons labs did they find in Ukraine that were owned basically by the American tax dollar? It was close to 30, I think.
No, I think it was 40.
Ukraine.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. It was huge. And they're still building them right now. They're all over the place. They can put them in any country they want. They simply pay off the government, look the other way. We need 5 acres here, and we're going to put some military in to protect it, whatever. So bioweapons research will never stop until there are no people left on the planet.
They let the genie out of the bag here, and I don't know if there's any putting it back in.
Not a chance. No. What... If it can be done, humankind will do it, even to its own annihilation. They just can't stop. They want to weaponize everything. They want to keep the advantage, whether you're Russia, the U.S., China, I don't care. If it's out there and it can be done, it'll be done. You can count on that. Here's RFK on AI, very briefly. He's afraid.
To me... is AI. You know, Elon Musk said AI, first it's going to take our jobs, then it's going to kill us. We cannot allow the uncontrolled development of AI around the world. We need to be negotiating with Russia, with the Chinese, with the Iranians. We need to stop the wars, stop the saber rattling, and negotiate directly with them to figure out how we are going to have treaties in place that control this out-of-control AI development that is an existential threat to all of us.
Again, me speaking for me, not Erica or anyone else, it'll never happen. I'm not going to give it up. It'll just go underground. It'll go behind black closed doors like everything does. It's not going to happen. So it sounds nice. Oh, yes, let's get together. We're all going to agree, going to negotiate with the Iranians and the Russians and the Chinese, and they're going to give up AI advancement unless everybody agrees that that's okay to do. Forget it. Not going to happen. This is political posturing. It's theater. That's all it is. Anyway, sounds nice.
Well, he's putting it on the table, some of these topics.
Yep. He's, like I say, he's saying all the right things. I agree. All right. Now we have Dr. Ryan Cole, who has made of all the big lights on the stage. Ryan Cole has, I think, uniformly been key with his knowledge, his insights, and the way he presents things is very civil. He understates them, actually, but he's very articulate in his own way, and he's got some new things to say, which I think are worth listening to. What do you think of Ryan and his latest statements? Pretty good.
Yeah, very factual, not alarmist, whereas I would say it is something to be alarmed about, but he's trying to present it in a non-alarmist way and very factually. And the evidence is, I would say, irrefutable of what's happening, the connection with the cancer here for those who have taken the bioweapon injection.
Which is an awful lot of people, over 80% of America, and nearly 7 billion on the planet. We're not saying that they all took Pfizer or Moderna or J&J or whatever, but there are 26 different versions of the so-called vaccine.
But and most more in the of pipeline.
More, many more. Okay, turbo cancer. How many, what was it that he said? He'll repeat it here. He was in a room at a health event somewhere, and he said, how many of you people in here know somebody who have no history of cancer or something like that, who now are fighting severe cancers? And he said, you wouldn't believe how many people raise their hands. And I would ask all of you out there, how many of you know somebody who, since being injected, has cancer? And I'll bet a lot of you do. So here's Ryan, Dr. Ryan Cole. All right, load up for me. It's loading, hang on. Actually, I'm going to have to reload the page, I think. He says, turbo cancer is something that wasn't there, and all of a sudden, it's everywhere. So it goes from being in one spot to being everywhere all at once. All right, let's see if we can get this to play now. No, it's still loading. Maybe there's another way to do this. I don't think so. I played earlier. Played just fine. Doesn't want to play. I'm going to reload the page once more because this is a good one. We might have to do this later on tonight. But it should jump right up there. It's on the daily clout. Let's see. No, it's not wanting to load. It's just spinning. Can you pull it up and see if it'll load right away for you? It might be a problem with the loading.
Yeah, mine works just fine.
Okay. I'm going to have to see if I can get somebody to look into this and fix it. All right, let's go on to the live blood for right now. Look under our names and guests, and you'll find all the videos that we're talking about. They're right there. Tell us about live blood. What do we have?
Okay, well, this is new. As of today, this is a doctor up in Canada, British Columbia, who he's made a video or two in the past. He's a naturopath. And he made a little video about, I think the whole thing's 20 minutes, of what he is seeing in his practice with vaxxed and unvaxxed blood and the condition of the blood, which, as we know by now, is horrific. And he's giving his interpretation of what they're seeing. The alarming thing is, I guess not surprising, is that the same types of conditions and abnormalities are being seen in the unvaxxed. But he did make the statement that, you know, these people are generally unwell when they come to see him, so that it's not a surprise that if they're feeling unwell, their blood would reflect that, or vice versa. But his he gives some pretty good descriptions and pretty good images, and gives his opinion of what's going on.
All right. And this guy, do we have a name for him? You sent
yes.
it to me. I don't know if we want to use it or not. Do we want to use it?
So, that's fine. Well, I don't think he's operating in secret, so
okay.
we'd like to give credit.
Yeah.
Dr. Ross Anderson.
Okay.
And his company or clinic is called Safe Zone.
Okay. Let me go over here, look under tonight's guests, click here, and it says Live Blood Analysis Number 1. You'll see it right there. So let's pull that up, and there it goes. All right, we're ready. Now, this has been compressed a little bit, so it sounds, the audio is a little bit muddy, but it's okay. So this is Ross Anderson. Is he an MD, medical doctor?
He is a DC, doctor of chiropractic,
okay.
and an ND.
All right.
Naturopath.
Naturopathic doctor, yeah, okay. Here we go.
And we're going to look at a series of pictures that I have taken over the last year and a half, 2 years, of things we are finding in the blood that we never saw before the COVID vaccination program began. And we're seeing these things in the unvaxxed and the vaxxed, which is rather disturbing. So this is a picture here. We've got some fungus formation here. And here, these are pictures that this particular one was done 8 hours after we actually took the sample. And it's more of the same. More fungus here. This is the fungus organism here. These very bright structures are what I call COVID crystals. We never saw these. And now we're seeing them in what I call fields, areas in the slide where there are literally sometimes hundreds of these very small yellow crystals. This is more fungus here. I'm going to blow that up a bit. So these are fungal organisms.
Okay, I'm going to stop this and pause it at 1 minute and 15 seconds. He's talking about fungus in the blood. I think he also used the term mold, didn't he, at one point? Or was it just fungus?
He could have, yeah. He could have.
So at 1:15 in the first video, Live Blood Analysis Number 1, Erica, tell us if you're on, if you can pull that up, tell us what we're seeing here. There are blood cells, and then there are white areas between blood cells in the lower right of the picture, and then the top above that and over to the left are two round white structures, which are, according to Dr. Anderson, decaying or dying red blood cells, which are being apparently consumed by fungus. Am I seeing this right?
I think so. I have to qualify this and say this is not my area of expertise. So,
right. All we have to go on is what he's saying. So, yes, I understand.
Yeah, but you can, I mean, we know a lot now, thanks to what we've learned over the past 2 years from many people's contributions. The red blood cells are destroyed by the spike protein. When the spike protein attaches to the red blood cells, it can cause the hemoglobin to let go of the iron. So now you have a degraded red blood cell and free iron floating around in the blood, which will feed the dormant blood microbiome. And it wouldn't be unusual to have an explosion of various types of opportunistic pathogens that awaken in that type of environment, including fungus. And so you can see that many of these red blood cells have kind of a frayed edge to them, which is a sign of severe oxidative stress. That's not a surprise. And then I think he's referencing these other things. Some of them are white blood cells. But then these things he's calling COVID crystals, I believe it's probably uric acid crystals. We know with these vaxxed people, most of them end up having extremely high levels of uric acid, which can precipitate in the blood. Another possibility is crystals of what they call calcium pyrophosphate, which can happen when there's a lot of iron in the body. In any case, it's horrific-looking blood.
The if you take a look, again, at the bottom right, that white between blood cells, that's what Anderson is calling fungus or mold. Again, straight above that, he did say in one of the videos, that round item, and then the one to the left, is a decaying blood cell, apparently being consumed or otherwise involved with mold. That's why it's white. And then there's another white object between the two of them. You'll see that. There's another white object above that. There's little white dots here and there. That's indicative, I think he's saying, of mold in the blood. This blood looks awful. It's not reload terribly, but the blood cells themselves look incompetent. They don't look right. They're supposed to be smooth. Erica described them as frayed edges. Correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not looking real good. All right, let's go ahead with the video. It's 1:15 now where we are. I'm going to push start in 3, 2, 1, go.
That are grown in this person's blood. These are always growing in the person, but they're being cleaned out by the mechanisms that the body has for cleaning the blood, which is the lymphatics and the liver and the spleen and a few other organs. So here we see some other microorganisms forming chains. Some of these things get very strange.
We probably should also caution people. He says, here's another microorganism forming chains. Not necessarily a microorganism. It's a chain-like structure. Any guesses on that one? Again, this is out of our general area of expertise, but I don't necessarily think we should call it an organism, like in the negative sense. I don't know.
I think it could be some of these fungal forms can look like that.
There you go. That could be it. He's obviously in an exploratory mode as well. All right, back to the video. We're at 1:47 now.
One, stringy one. And the tricky part about this is that these will also be in the brain. They can lead to mental disorders of various sorts, and the medical profession is completely oblivious to those possibilities. Here's more fungal mold organisms forming here and here, and a long stringy one here. So we see a lot of this in people who are really, most of them, not well at all. Now we're getting into some of the COVID stuff. So if we blow this up,
was that first little go-around supposedly unvaxxed blood? Now he's in vaxxed blood? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know if he said. I didn't catch it. I don't know.
He said we're going into COVID blood now. Now we're seeing a heavy rouleau,
okay.
Blood sample.
Yep.
With white mold or fungal growths in it. Not a good sign. So this, he did say, was COVID blood. So we'll take that to mean vaxxed blood. Okay.
Around here you see this long stringy thing in behind the cells. These are white blood cells. These are red blood cells. And this I call a COVID clot. We've seen a lot of that, these long, stringy structures. this is an interesting thing that we see a fair bit of. These are white blood cells here attacking what I call a COVID crystal. Now, this is a COVID bubble, and it is totally enigmatic in that nobody knows what it is, why it formed, and we never saw these until about 6 months ago. We've got crystals and clots since the beginning of the VAX program, but we never saw these COVID bubbles until about 6 months ago. And we're not the only ones that are seeing them. Many other people are doing live blood analysis and seeing them as well. This is a COVID crystal, a very large one. It has a white blood cell here trying to attack it. It's going to be a little futile because the crystal is much larger than the white blood cell.
COVID crystal. What's a COVID crystal?
Well, again, I'm going to guess it's uric acid crystals. They can precipitate out in the blood. Mm-hmm. In fact, we have a picture of that, and it looks quite similar. That my money's on uric acid, but again, it could be this other crystal called calcium pyrophosphate that can happen when there's a lot of stored iron.
Okay. Iron is not your friend. Remember that.
No, this disease, much of it is being driven by the dysregulation of iron.
Right.
Iron is incredibly toxic. I mean, it's carcinogenic. It feeds bacteria.
Mm-hmm. We were the first to bring this out. Erica made it very clear. You'll find that radio program at the bottom of the archive. Look on the right-hand side. Scroll down to the bottom. It's the first program to really talk about iron as being extremely toxic and dangerous in this whole situation. Uric acid crystals in the blood, you can find that link right under the third video of live blood analysis in guests. It's right there. All right, let's go back to the video. 354.
You see this a lot. You'll see some really interesting ones coming up. There's another COVID bubble. So this is a COVID bubble with a yellow crystal attached to it. You see some very strange combinations. Another COVID bubble. Another COVID crystal. This is a field of COVID crystals. All of these structures, will blow that up a bit for you. So all of these are facetted. These are the things that people are saying are literally electronic type devices. I don't necessarily agree with that. I haven't seen circuit boards in the blood. I see a lot of crystals that could be circuit boards, and this is a very strange thing that we see a lot. It's a very different form of COVID bubble with structures inside of it. It's a very strange one.
Oh.
Yeah, it's interesting artwork, isn't it? You want to put that one on your wall.
Oh.
Just blow it up and put it on the wall. Yeah, I know. It's very strange, some of these. Here's another one here. Very interesting structure, this one. Looks like it's made up of chunks.
The only thing, I don't know anything about this. I know that this is not what blood is supposed to look like. I don't know what a COVID bubble is, unless it's a former blood cell that's been somehow co-opted and corrupted. I don't know what he's talking about with that either. But you know,
yeah,
have to make up what you will. Go ahead.
The bubble is really a head-scratcher. I have no idea what that could be. But we have to remember that there are a lot of what they call acute phase proteins that are being produced by the body in response to the presence of this, at the very least, the spike protein and whatever other synthetic things are in the injection. So the liver may be producing high amounts of any one of these acute phase reactions that it is just flooding the bloodstream and contributing to the formation of these, unidentifiable things. Like I said, the crystals, I believe, would be uric acid or maybe calcium pyrophosphate. The bubble, I don't know. But again, we have high levels, very, very high levels of these acute phase proteins in response to the inflammatory condition of the blood.
The blood is in trouble, okay?
It's degraded. It's falling apart. All of these proteins that are released in response can become part of these clots.
Right.
That aren't really clots. They're just aggregations of proteins.
That's a good point. All right, let's jump back in this video. We have a lot of material to get through here. So 512 is where we are now.
Same one again. Another interesting COVID bubble. This is a COVID crystal, is what I call it. I first saw what I call COVID crystals in the spring of 2021 when we covertly obtained a sample of AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine, and we put it under the microscope, and we saw things exactly like this. And we have now seen those things in many, many people's blood. There's another COVID crystal. And you see it in the vaccine. We saw things exactly like that in the vaccine itself. Yes.
Well, that would kind of suggest that he doesn't think they're uric acid. We do.
Well,
we
I mean, how, you, are, I mean, a crystal, you know, a crystal looks like a crystal because it's a crystal.
Always.
I mean, how can you tell? I mean, you know.
Who knows? Yeah.
You don't know what the composition of it is.
If this was actually found like this in AstraZeneca in a vial, I don't know.
There were lots of crystallized debris in these vials. You know, I
quality control.
It wouldn't necessarily be the same as what's being found in the blood. All kinds of things can precipitate and form crystals, not the least of which is cholesterol.
Right. Very good. Do we want to go through this? Is there something I should jump to here? We got two other videos I do want to see.
Yeah, you could just fast forward it. There was probably some interesting stuff more towards the end.
All right.
Maybe just advance it to 10 minutes or so, and we'll do the last four.
All right, I've got 10:02. So everyone jump up to 10 minutes and we'll be about on the same page.
These are very strange crystals that we found in a couple of people who are unvaxxed. If you look at this, they're very dark in color. And we saw these in a couple of people about 3 or 4 months ago, this sort of thing here. It almost looks like some kind of spaceship. Very dark in color. And yet, these people don't feel sick. This particular one is a local woman who is a very good friend of ours. She's on back. She did have sexual contact with a now ex-boyfriend who told her CP would never get back. And then he went and didn't tell her. So she had sexual contact and sexual fluid exchange with a very recently vaxxed person. Does that have anything to do with the formation of this very strange structure here? Well, we cannot come to that conclusion. Here's another one here. We look at this. Large structure in behind. There's another one. There's another one. Falling back in here. But these are very strange crystalline structures. And we have now seen four distinct types of what I call COVID crystals, all with very different appearances. And structures. What are they made of? That's a very good question. Are they graphene oxide? Are they something else? I think these very dark colored ones like this have something to do with graphene.
All right, I think we might want to pause there and maybe move on to the next one. We're not big
fans.
Well,
I'll just say in response to, I don't agree with that at all. Graphene oxide, you cannot see. And it would have been degraded. The body degrades graphene. My money's on iron. Iron is black. It's being released from the heme, free-floating in the blood, and probably collecting in some of these crystals.
Well, Dr. Anderson has raised the issue of possible electronic circuit boards in the blood. We've heard that all too often. Now we're getting graphene oxide. So his knowledge base doesn't necessarily parallel ours. It's whatever. But I don't know where all these crystals are coming from all of a sudden. And as Erica said, many things can go into a crystalline nature in blood.
It sure can, especially when the pH is off. The body is struggling to maintain all of its homeostatic mechanisms. It's lost control of protein production. It's lost some of its buffering ability. The pH is off. Mm-hmm. It's suffocating in some areas. It's being oxidized in other areas. It's really, I mean, you're watching a degeneration right before your eyes.
One of the most
the unraveling
things,
of a human being.
That's it. It's disintegrating. It's deconstructing.
It is disintegrating. Yes.
Yeah. One of the most important things he said was a woman had sexual relations with a newly vaxxed male who did not tell her. This is happening all the time, and time will tell if she has been mortally or gravely wounded by that act. And that's something we've covered multiple times on the program. All right, so let's go to live blood analysis number 2. It's quite a bit shorter, and we'll see what he has to say here. Number 2.
Protective barrier to keep toxins out of the brain, which is extremely sensitive. So this is all yeast here, all these little guys here, and forming into little colonies, a lot more radiation damage showing
yeast.
In that one.
Yeast and mold.
Yeah. Now we're going into a study I call blood culturing, which is when we leave the slide on the microscope with a small amount of light to maintain it at a temperature almost exactly like the human body temperature, and we see what grows, because this particular drop of blood was removed from the body and not being cleaned by the blood cleaning organs during that 8 hours that it sat on the microscope. So if we look here, we're starting to see stuff grow. There's a parasite in a red cell. But here is a fungus colony here, this stuff here. And my theory is really simple. I think schizophrenics, bipolars, and numerous other mental disorders are actually fungus growing in the brain. And that fungus is activated by, guess what? Sugar and alcohol. I have seen young schizophrenic kids in their late teens, early 20s drink a beer and go into a psychotic episode within 10 minutes. Happens all the time. So if we keep going here, we're starting to see stuff growing. I'm going to blow that up a bit. So this is another mold colony here. The red cells have degenerated and broken. That's what these faint ones here are like. So if we keep going, we're going to start to see crazy stuff like this. If you look at some of this stuff, these things here are these degenerating red cells, which are growing into small mold and yeast colonies. Here is a very large colony here. This one here of some sort of yeast type microorganism.
What would be the cure for that?
Question again?
What would be the cure for that?
Well, that's the tricky part. The problem with schizophrenics is they won't take anything. That's why they're called paranoid schizophrenics. They won't take supplements. A lot of them won't even take their drugs. once they're stable on a pharmaceutical, they quit, and then they get into psychosis again, and they start wandering, you know, disappearing for a week at a time. It's not uncommon. It's a very serious issue. So this is all stuff growing here. Yeast and fungus, all these guys here, and bacteria as well.
Trippy.
That's some bad looking blood.
Yeah.
And if we blow this up, you'll see all kinds of crazy things here. All this stuff is different microorganisms. Here's a colony of four. And these guys are all in his brain as well as in his blood. And that's the tough part of this is you literally, to cure this, you literally have to institutionalize somebody because they won't, you have to literally force the stuff into them. Ozone is one of the best things in the world. If they will do ozone in the ears on a regular basis, and I'm working on a system right now to be friendly enough that one of these paranoid people will put the earphones on and the ozone will go in through the earphones and they'll be able to hear music while the ozone is going into their ears. There's a brainstorm I came up with a few years ago, and I think it's going to be extremely valuable.
Okay, I'll wrap that one up a little bit early. We're going to move on to number three.
I just want to say this about the schizophrenia. Let's not forget mm-hmm. that Dr. Abram Hoffer, mm-hmm. cured schizophrenia, what was it, back in the 1950s? With niacin. High doses of niacin was curative for many people with schizophrenia. And this, again, we have a disease right now that the pathology is being driven by a lack of niacin in order to create NAD.
Got it. These blood samples showing mold, yeast, fungus, whatever he's calling it at the moment, so those are all interchangeable phrases he's using, is not encouraging. It's whatever it is, it's growing in the blood. It's almost as if the blood is tanking. It's just not doing its job, and it's being overcome with things that should not be out of balance in it at all. You shouldn't see mold like that in blood or fungus. You shouldn't see that, like, not big growths like that.
No, the blood is really in tough shape, and consequently, yeah. all the organs and tissues are suffering as well.
Right. All right, live blood analysis number three, or do you want to jump to Ryan Cole? We can do either.
Yeah, let's jump to Ryan Cole. We get the idea here.
It's all up there for everyone to take a look at. All right, here's Dr. Ryan Cole see if I can get it here, on turbo cancer.
I understand it's not just spike that's being produced.
Yes.
Other elements, right?
And this was a very good study, and it may have come from BioNTech's own paper, where they took cell culture, transfected it with the injection, and then once that cell culture starts producing the proteins that it's supposed to make, then you separate those out to say, are these cells making the target protein we want? Are they making the spike protein? And so it's supposed to weigh about 141 kilodaltons. And so we put a little electrical field on a little gel, and these proteins migrate, and then they stop according to their weight and electrical charge. And it was fascinating to look at that study and go, wait, we have 100 kilodalton weight proteins and 190, but nothing at 141 that would be a spike protein. So my concern scientifically is these products are making the body make unknown proteins as well, to the which we could be having these autoimmune responses. And if you look at the vial purity, the purity of the mRNA in the vials, you know, if you take a drug, you want to know, if I go buy an aspirin, it's actually aspirin I'm taking. I don't want half of it to be aspirin and half of it to be laced with some other production side product that may be harmful. We know microRNAs are a known carcinogen. There's medical literature showing how sequences of mRNA can either be helpful in the body, natural ones, or can be extremely harmful. And certain types of cancers, you see increased circulating microRNAs in these patients. And so to know that there are these unknown, fragmented parts of mRNA in these vials is also poor manufacturing, one, but two, medically dangerous, and three, we don't know what all those things can be causing. I mean, the panoply of side effects that we're seeing in injured patients are numerous, and these are just, you know, tip of the iceberg reasons why these things could be happening. So, yeah, these are impure manufactured products, and other proteins could be causing the harm, not just the spike protein.
One of the things we've discussed in the past is you were observing an uptick in certain rare cancers, also like lymphomas and things, the more common things like that. You were noticing some kind of a bacterium that was, you know, only in childhood that was now appearing in adults. You were wondering about that. I guess, has the literature around that, if the studies progressed anywhere? What do we know now? What are we seeing?
So I'm not the only one making the claim anymore, which is comforting. Many pathologists around the world are seeing it. As you know, my colleagues in Europe have pointed it out. As I travel the world and give lectures and whatnot, I've had so many doctors, like I said last time, approach me, gosh, I'm seeing this in my population. Oncologist in England that I was talking to a couple months ago, lymphomas, myelomas, leukemias, at rates he's never seen in his 40 years of practice. I was on the phone last week with a oncologist here in Texas, where we are right now, and he, you know, same thing. He has patients, he's had cancer-free, their markers are all down, they've been cancer-free for 1, 2, 5, 10, 17, 20 years in some of these patients, and after their shot, second, third, fourth, cancer's back like wildfire. And that goes to all these immune suppression mechanisms that are multitudinous, and it's trackable now in the CDC data. So there's one researcher, has a great Substack, The Ethical Skeptic, and you can see how he shows the manipulation by the CDC of their data sets. But if you do the pull forward data and look at what we call variation above trend, in the lymphomas we're seeing, you know, about a 4 sigma increase.
And what does that mean exactly, at 4 sigma?
So if I have 100 patients that get lymphoma out of, you know, say 100,000 every year, now I'm seeing, you know, maybe 105 patients. So, you know, it's that subtle change, but it's a statistically significant change. And then what you do is say, wait, this month it was 4 above the 100, now it's 5 above 100, now it's 12 above the 100. So you're seeing, you know, the trend should be this historically, and what you're watching is the trend doing this. And so if you read some of the breakdowns of his data sets in some of the solid tissue tumor cancers ages 0 to 54, now what we're seeing is a 12 sigma increase. And so these are massive amounts compared to, you know, statistical analysis year over year over
year. The baseline.
And you would expect, you know, okay, there's going to be some of that from people missing oncology screenings during the pandemic. I appreciate that argument. A degree of that is going to be true. But then look at the population 0 to 54, where the cancer rate is very low to start with. All of a sudden, why are we seeing very aggressive cancers in these age cohorts? If you start looking at Bradford Hill criteria of causation and correlation, things start adding up very quickly. And across the board, you saw in the meeting today when I gave my talk, I said, raise your hand if you have a friend or a family member that after the shots ended up with a cancer. And it was astounding, the number of hands that went up in that room. Is it everybody? Do I want to scare people thinking, oh, you got the shot, you're going to get cancer? No. But it's more significant statistically than it was before. And it was after the shots rolled out that this started happening, for multiple immune reasons and other harm reasons.
Just in terms of raw numbers, what kind of differences are we talking about in areas that, you know, come to mind for you?
The raw numbers are going up. The percentage numbers look scarier than the raw numbers, but the trend line is consistently going up.
So you hear this term brandished about, turbo cancers. What does that mean?
Good question. It was popularized by a colleague over in Europe in an article she wrote, and she's a breast pathologist. I've met with her at some of the international meetings. And in her cohort, she noticed younger women developing more aggressive cancers. And in oncology and pathology, we look at certain tumors and say, okay, they have this stage cancer, they have this grade of tumor. You know how it's going to behave over a set period of time. What's happening is these cancers we're used to seeing, their growth patterns and their behavior are completely out of character. And so this adjective that's been tacked on to cancer is describing a phenomenon that's unusual in the practice of medicine. Again, observationally across countless professionals around the world saying, wait a minute, I haven't seen cancer behave this way before. What's going on? So turbo cancer is something that wasn't there, and all of a sudden it's everywhere. So it goes from being in one spot to everywhere all at once. And it happens in a manner that is timeline accelerated. A radiologist called me, this was many, many months back, and he had two 31-year-old women that same day come into his office for scans, and they both had stage 4 breast cancer after their third shot. And so these are the type of stories we hear. Young, healthy marathon runner, et cetera, gets his third shot. All of a sudden, he has stage 4 lymphoma.
Okay, that's Dr. Ryan Cole on turbo cancers. The idea of cancer exploding all over the body almost simultaneously should tell all of you right away that cancer is blood-borne in these cases. That's how it gets around, and it's taking root. The body is all of a sudden this perfect petri dish for wild cancers, out-of-control cancers of many different kinds, and being spread probably via the blood.
No surprise, this is exactly what happened in the animal trials that they've now, you know, pretty much hidden from the public.
Yes, they have. So people watching Dr. Cole, and all of you can get the video, just share it if you're interested. What's the takeaway for people? If you're vaxxed, get checked. If you turn up with cancer, you often have no indication that you're suffering from it. What is there to be done about it? That's the big question. Will normal, orthodox, cut-slash-and-burn cancer therapies do anything for out-of-control turbo cancers like this? Do the old rules apply, as shoddy as they were? I don't know what people are to think. What do you think? What should people?
Well, I know of a few people in my circles that were diagnosed with cancer, and this was, you know, not recently, but in the, you know, shortly after the rollout. One with lung cancer, one with kidney cancer, and they both had bladder cancer, and then there was one with prostate cancer. They all underwent treatment, and as of right now, they appear to be okay. Now, I don't know if they've continued to take more shots, or if they have more going on than they're talking about. I wouldn't say they're in vibrant health, but they've managed to survive the last 2 years.
Yeah,
it's like a dark cloud hanging over your head.
Exactly.
I don't think you're ever going to be worry-free.
No, I would think not. We were going to talk about tonight, we're out of time here, thermography. We're going to duck that in on Friday for you, give you our take on thermographic imaging to determine if you may or may not have vascular irregularities like blood clots in your body. Now that's something that thermography is really moving to the fore now, in helping people determine if they are clotting, at least in terms of what thermographs can produce by way of results. It's very interesting. I've got that picture up at the bottom of the homepage showing the guy's legs. That's a thermograph, just to give you an idea. But we'll talk more about that on Friday. Anything you want to add here? Excellent. A lot of material. Wow.
No, that's we're up to date.
Okay.
For now.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. My pleasure, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
All right, we'll jump into our break and come right back. Hang on.